Welcome to Wednesday night service at Grace Community Church. Thank you all for coming out. If you're here in person, I'm glad you're here. And if you're watching online, thank you for tuning in. I'm glad you're watching too. My name is Wade. If this is your first time watching, we're glad to have you with us. Let me go ahead and pray for us, and we'll just get right into tonight's message. Father, thank you for this opportunity to get up here and share what you've laid on my heart this week. God, I pray that you'll help us all to just slow down and be able to focus, Lord, and just set aside all the distractions that we have, all the worries that we have, God, and just focus on this moment and focus on what it is you have to say. And Lord, I just pray that you'd open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, to receive what it is you're telling us. And Lord, I just pray that when we do that and listen to what you're saying, that it will increase your kingdom. It will increase our knowledge of you and what it is you want us to do. And we'll give you the praise for that in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Well, if you were here last week, the main focus of last week's message was sharing the gospel and how we just don't see many people doing that anymore, and how we just don't see, you know, many people sharing their faith the way that we should be sharing their faith. So this week, I was going to go in a different direction, but I think God wanted me to talk a little bit more about that tonight. So we're going to revisit that. And there's especially two areas that we're going to be talking about. And I think as a worldwide church, not just Grace, I think we've got two big misconceptions about sharing the gospel that really hurt the spread of the gospel, that stop people from wanting, you know, to even come close to the gospel or come to church. I think there's two main reasons why. And this has been on my mind all week since last Wednesday. Josh mentioned it in his sermon Sunday morning, or something close to it anyway. You know, he said we can't try to force feed the gospel down somebody's throat. It'll make them sick. It'll make them reject the gospel. And that's the truth. And I don't think, you know, any of us try to do that on purpose. I don't think we intentionally set out to do that. But I think a lot of times that's how it's received from other people. You know, it may not be our intention or the way we want it to come out, but I think a lot of times that's how it comes across to other people. So tonight I want to talk about two ways in particular that we try to share the gospel that not only don't lead people to Jesus, it makes them go the other way, either with unbelief or, you know, they go away thinking the gospel is fake, or they wind up going the other way feeling rejected and unaccepted, you know, unworthy of the gospel. So there's two areas I want to talk about tonight. And the first one that I want to talk about is glorifying the gospel. And, you know, I think the gospel is glorious, and I'm sure y'all agree with me on that. But when I talk about glorifying the gospel, you know, I think for some reason churches think that we have to come up with a sales pitch for the gospel. Like we need to clean it up real good and make it nice and shiny so we can go, you know, ta-da, look at the gospel. And, you know, the gospel is glorious, like I just said. And I'm sure all y'all would say amen to that. But we don't have to shine it up to make it pretty. We don't have to present it as something it's not. The gospel is pretty all by itself. And once you experience that, you see the beauty in it. You know, we don't have to make a big production out of presenting the gospel and make it into something that it's not in order to make it appealing to people. The Holy Spirit will do that all by himself. So we don't have to come up with a storybook version of the gospel to make people desire it or to make people want it. You know, that's the version of the gospel that people figure out real fast is fake. And when they do that, they don't want any part of it. And it says in Proverbs that a brother offended is harder to be won back than a fortified city. So when we present the gospel, we need to present it as it truly is. You know, not go overboard and present it as something that in reality, in everyday, day-to-day life, that it's not. You know, the gospel is simple. It's really simple. So I want to go over some ways that we can share the gospel and in truth, you know, the way it actually is applied in day-to-day life and not the storybook version of it that the world tries to sell people, because they catch on to that real quick, that it's not a storybook tale. There's still everyday life that goes on every day once we come to Jesus, and people need to know that. So I want to start in the book of John as an example of that, and I love the way Jesus did it here. In John chapter 1, I'm going to read verses 35 through 39. And it says, again, the next day after, and this is after, you know, a little backstory on this. John the Baptist is at the river and he's baptizing people. And this is when Jesus got baptized. And John said, you know, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. And that's when the Holy Spirit came down like a dove and landed on Jesus. And this is the day after that. So again, the next day after John stood and two of his disciples and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following and said unto them, what seek you? And they said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say being interpreted master, where dwellest thou? Or where do you live, you know? And he said unto them, come and see. And they came and saw where he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. So in verse 37, you know, it says that they heard John call Jesus the Lamb of God, and that got their attention. And they started following him, and then, you know, that got Jesus' attention. So he turned around and looked at him and said, you know, what do you want? What are you looking for? And they said, where do you live? And honestly, I don't think they cared where he lived. I think they were just curious about him. And they wanted to hang around with him and see, you know, see what he was all about. And so Jesus said, come and see. And I love that. You know, I love the fact that Jesus didn't turn around and say, I am the Son of the living God. Get on your knees before me, you sinners. You know, he didn't do that at all. He was real simple about it. All he said was, come and see. You know, I love that. All he said was, come and see. That's really all we got to do to witness for Jesus. You know, when people see something different about us and they ask you about it, tell them, just like Jesus did, come and see. You know, Jesus didn't invite them to the temple. He just invited them to spend the day with him. And, spend some time with them. Let them see who he was in person. You know, Josh says it all the time. This building that we're in, you know, it's not the church. We are the church. So if you really want to invite somebody to church, then do what Jesus did. Tell them to come and see. Spend your day with them. Spend some time with them. And if you're truly surrendered to Christ and you've got the Holy Spirit in you, then they will see a difference in you. They'll see Jesus in you. They'll notice that you're not talking about the things that the world talks about. And you're not doing the things that all the other people are doing. That's when witnessing for Christ really begins. That's when it gets real, when they see how you live your everyday life. And that's what Jesus did. And that's where people start getting curious, just like those two disciples did. And they'll start asking questions, you know, why don't you do these things? Or why do you do these other things that we don't do? And that'll open the door for you to share with them what Jesus has done in your life. You know, because people will ask you questions. People ask me all the time, you know, why don't you do that anymore? Especially people that knew me before. And I tell them, you know, I did used to do that. As a matter of fact, I wrecked my life doing just that, but I don't do it anymore. I got to the place where I needed help, and I realized I needed God in my life, And that's where Jesus met me. And he rescued me from all this stuff. And that's why I do all this other stuff. Because I love Jesus and what he's done for me. And that's the best way you can witness, is to invite somebody into your life. And when they start asking questions, you've already got the answers to give them. All you got to do is tell them what Christ has done for you. And I didn't plan this at all. I got up and read my devotion this morning, and it's talking about almost exactly what we're talking about. So I wanted to share just a piece of it with you. It's not a whole lot of it, just about half of it. And I'll go ahead and read it to you. It says, "The Lord does not give me rules. He makes his standard very clear. And if my relationship to him is that of love, I'll do what he says without any hesitation. If I hesitate, it's because I love someone else in competition with him, myself. Jesus Christ will not help me to obey him. I must obey him. And when I do obey him, I fulfill my spiritual destiny. My personal life may be crowded with small, petty incidents, altogether unnoticeable and ordinary. But if I obey Jesus Christ in those circumstances, they become pinholes through which I see the face of God. And when I stand face to face with God, I shall discover that through my obedience, thousands were blessed. And when once God's redemption comes to the point of obedience in a human soul, it always creates. If I obey Jesus Christ, the redemption of God will rush through me to other lives, because behind the deed of obedience is the reality of Almighty God." So just living in obedience to God, that shows Christ to that person. They'll be able to see Jesus in your life. Just being obedient to Jesus will reveal God to the people around you, especially, like I said a while ago, the people closest to you, the people that know you intimately. You know, the people that I used to run with, when I meet some of them now, they're like, "Who are you? You know, we don't even know you." And they will notice an undeniable change in you. And so will the people that you don't even know. They'll notice that you're different from society. And we should be different from society. And the most amazing thing is that when you start noticing it in yourself. You know, if we read on in John chapter 1 in verse 46, you know, they keep bringing people to Jesus. And this is where they were bringing Nathanael to him. And this is before they got to Jesus. And Nathanael said unto his brother, he said, "Can there anything good come out of Nazareth?" And, you know, that's how I saw myself. You know, can anything good come out of me? You know, if you'd have told me 7 or 8 years ago that I would be standing up here preaching today, I would have laughed at you. And, you know, there's no way I could have saw that. But you'll be amazed what God will do through you just being obedient to him. But just like Philip told Nathanael to come and see, that's what Jesus is telling us, you know. Come and see. Just follow me and be obedient to me. And without even realizing it, you will become a living witness for me. And that's the truth. I can see that in my own life. Just like Josh was preaching on Sunday, to let our light shine. If you're living a life surrendered to Jesus and being obedient to him, he'll put a light in you that you can't hide. It just comes out of you. Without even knowing it, you'll lead other people to Christ just by the way you live. Jesus had a conversation like that with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. In verse 14, he told her that whoever comes to him will become a well of water springing up to eternal life. He said, "But whosoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up to everlasting life." And if we keep on reading in John, we'll see the proof of that. In John chapter 4, verses 29 and 30, He says, come and see. Or this is the lady he was talking to at the well, or the woman at the well. And she went back into her town, and she's telling all these other people. She said, come and see a man which told me all the things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came unto him. That whole city went out to see Jesus just because of what she said. So, and we'll see another example of that in John chapter 4, verse 39. And it says, and many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So many believed because of what he told her. He hadn't even done anything for those people yet. They hadn't met him, hadn't seen him. But just her witness, you know, caused other people to believe. That's the way our lives can be too. You know, people can see Jesus in you before they ever meet him for themselves. You know, I had to be around other Christians before I came to Christ. We all learn about him somewhere. You know, some of us learn about him in church. Some of us just spend time around somebody, you know, maybe at work or whatever the case may be. Nobody just gets up one day and says, I think I'm going to get to know Jesus today. Somebody somewhere was an example that led us to Christ, whether by the way they lived or something they said. And, you know, they probably wasn't even trying to witness. It was just something about their lives that was different. And that's true in our lives. If we're living for Christ, people will notice. And they'll either ask questions or they'll follow you for real. And that's how people get to Jesus. When we live for him, somebody will follow you. So people will see Jesus in you before they even meet him. But we have to be willing to invite them and say, come and follow me. Invite them into our lives so that they can see that our faith is genuine. And it's not just a show. The most effective witness we have is not telling people about the gospel. It's sharing the gospel. I'll say that again. That the most effective witness we have is not telling people about the gospel. It's sharing the gospel with them, inviting them into our lives. And every time I think of sharing the gospel, every time I think about that, you know, I think about Howard and Sandy. You know, they've always got a home full of foster kids. About as long as I've known them, they've had foster kids. They don't just tell them about the gospel. You know, they invite them into their lives. They share the gospel with them. They don't just tell them, Jesus loves you, we love you, you know, we'll be praying for you. No, they tell them, like we've been saying, come and see. This is how much Jesus loves you. Here's you a home, you know. Here's how much Jesus loves you. Welcome to the family. And we do this because Jesus loves us and we love him. That's sharing the gospel. It's not because of rules and laws, you know, like it said in that devotion, but out of love, out of our love for Christ, and he puts that inside of us and causes us to love other people. And we want them to know Jesus the way that we know Jesus, so that they can know what love is too. So we don't have to glorify the gospel. We just have to share it and simply be a witness to what Jesus has done in your life. And if you're a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, he's done something in your life you can share with somebody else. That's what he told John's disciples when they came to him. At this point, you know, John the Baptist is in prison. They put him in prison. And I don't know why, but he started doubting. Well, I wonder if Jesus is the real Messiah. I wonder if he is the Christ. You know, I'm sure he was thinking, surely he wouldn't leave me in jail if he really is the Messiah. So he sent two of his disciples to go ask Jesus, you know, are you the one or should we be looking for another one? And we can read that in Luke chapter 7, verses 20 and 22 and what Jesus told them. He says, and when the men were come unto him, Jesus, they said, John the Baptist has sent us unto you, saying, are you he that should come, or, you know, should we look for another? And in that same hour, and I like the way it puts that, in that same hour, Jesus didn't respond to him right then. He started doing things. He cured many of their infirmities and plagues and of evil spirits, and unto many that were blind he gave sight. He gave them some proof. And then he answered them and said, go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. So he said, go tell John what you've just seen and heard for yourself. So Jesus didn't tell him, go tell him to take my word for it. He showed them proof to go back and tell John, we saw this with our own eyes. And that's all the witness he needs. You know, the world doesn't need a glamorous presentation of the gospel. It needs a truthful sharing of the gospel. You know, they need to know when you come to Jesus, there's still going to be storms, but he'll get you through your storms. And he'll give you peace in the middle of your storm. You know, I've been through a lot of storms. And used to, I'd deal with that in ungodly ways. You know, I'd get drunk or run away from the problem, leave town, whatever. But now when I have problems, God makes them seem like they're not that big. And they don't overwhelm you. You know, it's just a season. It's going to pass. God's going to get me through this. You still have storms, but you'll have peace in your storms. You know, if there's things in your life that are holding you in bondage, people need to know he can and will set you free from them if you'll just follow him and be obedient to him. And if you're hopeless, he'll give you hope if you'll just trust in him and follow him. He'll comfort you. You know, if you're brokenhearted and you just need comforted, they need to know those things. The gospel is real, but it's simple. It fits right into everyday life. He'll help you with all those problems that overwhelm you. So all those things are real. You know, we can have hope. We can have comfort. We can have peace. All those things are available through Jesus Christ and nowhere else. You know, we look all these other places trying to get those things, but the only thing we can get from the world is temporary fixes that usually make the problem worse. The only place we can get lasting peace, you know, lasting in our hearts, knowing that everything's going to be all right, is from Jesus Christ. And he'll give you a peace inside that really does pass all understanding. I don't know how many of you were here a few weeks ago. I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago. Chris brought a message, and that was part of his message. He said, there is no way to describe the peace you get inside when you realize your relationship with God Almighty is where it needs to be. And that is true. There is no way to explain it until you, you know, have that feeling for yourself. And that's what we want to be able to share with other people. Lead them into that relationship so they can have that peace. Once you get that, you don't have that feeling of doom inside you anymore. That's gone, and you know that no matter what this world throws at me, no matter what happens here, I'm safe in God, and he's got my back. He's going to get me through this, and I'm not living in fear of the judgment of God anymore. I realize that God's not against me. He came to save me, and I'm looking forward to eternal life in peace with a God who's madly in love with me. That's the gospel. People don't have to fear God. All they need to do is submit to God and realize how much God loves them. You know, we should have godly reverence. That's what the Bible's talking about when it says fear God. Not be afraid of God, but respect God and live for him knowing that he loves you. That's the gospel. The gospel is life with Christ, not the other way. You know, I tell you all the time that God don't ever ask us to do something that he hadn't done himself. And he don't. He always sets an example for us. Jesus didn't just come and tell us you're a bunch of sinners. You have to believe in me or go to hell and then ascend back to heaven. He didn't do that. He could have done that, but he didn't. He came to earth and was born as a little baby and grew up as one of us. You know, he joined us. He did life with us. And then he died for us and gave us his life so we could give it to other people. And we share this verse every week in Romans 5:8. He did all of that while we were yet sinners. It says, God commends his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You know, that's what we have to do for other people. So the gospel don't need to be glamorized, just shared. You know, let people see it at work in everyday life. A lot of people don't believe it because we present it as something unbelievable. You know, if we come up with this big, glorious presentation of the gospel, that just don't fit into everyday life. And people don't believe that. And they shouldn't believe that because it's not true and it's not real. But if we share the real gospel with them, then they can believe that and they'll want that. They'll want what you have. And that's when people change, when they see something attainable. If we present this thing that's so glorious, they're going to feel unworthy. They're going to feel like there's no way I could ever have a life like that. But when we show them in real time that Jesus will do everyday life with you, they'll accept that. They want that. They'll take all the help they can get. We all need all the help we can get. So that's the first one I wanted to talk about. We just share the real gospel with people and not a storybook version of it. And the second way that I want to talk about tonight that the gospel shouldn't be shared is with condemnation. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one because it's very simple and it's very to the point. And, you know, that's the way God gave it to me, so that's the way I'm going to give it to you. Josh shared this. He shared this verse Sunday morning too. Romans 8, verse 1. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is no condemnation. That's pretty clear. But I want to read another verse to you. And it don't get any clearer than what Jesus said about himself. This is Jesus talking in John chapter 3, verse 17. It says, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There is no condemnation in that at all. I mean, that's just plain and simple. He didn't come to point out people's sins. He came to pay the price for sin and to remove the death sentence from us and take it upon himself and be a perfect sacrifice so that we could have eternal life. There is no condemnation in the gospel. There is no judgment in the gospel. It is a gift from God. Jesus came and died for us and saved us from eternal death and gave us eternal life. So I wrote five things down that you should never do if you're going to be witnessing for Christ. And I hope you pay attention to these because I think this has really become a burden on the gospel and a burden on the church because almost everywhere you look, you see this happening during witnessing. And that's not going to bring anybody to Christ. Number one is we shouldn't bring shame on anybody for anything they have done. You know, we shouldn't bring shame on anybody. Jesus Christ, we just read, said he did not come into the world to condemn the world. So we shouldn't be condemning anybody either. Number two, you know, we shouldn't slander them by telling others what they've done. We shouldn't be trying to ruin somebody's name and get other people to think bad about them. You know, I've shared with you before, there's a verse in Revelations that calls Satan himself the accuser of the brethren. So if we're going around slandering somebody else's name and spreading, you know, bad gossip about them, then that is pretty much just satanic. And number three, if you're placing yourself above them and trying to become a judge over them like you've never sinned, you know, you can't witness to people like that. We can't witness in self-righteousness. We're not self-righteous. We are righteous through the blood of Christ. And number four, we can't expect them to earn forgiveness, to earn grace. You know, the Bible's clear about that. By grace are we saved, not by works. So we freely received it. We can't expect other people to earn their forgiveness and to earn their grace. And number five, we can't expect them to pay for what they've done. You know, we can't have a mindset, if God has forgiven me, I'm saved, but they need to pay for what they did. Sin is sin. It is a level playing field. And I know we as humans, we like to look at this sin as worse than this sin. I'm not as bad as they are, but sin is a state that we're all born in. It's equal across the board. Romans 3:23 takes any question of that out. It says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when we're witnessing to others, when we're telling others about Jesus, we need to realize they need to accept him the same way we did. No strings attached. We didn't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But we need to share it with them freely and realize that God's going to forgive them just like he forgave us. We were all sinners. You know, Jesus himself didn't come to condemn, but to save. So who do we think we are as sinners ourselves to judge anybody? And, you know, if you're doing any of those five things, they are ungodly and they will slander the gospel in the name of Jesus Christ. And they will cause people to reject Christ, to reject the gospel. And that should really get our attention. You know, I've told you before, I don't want to stand before God and be the reason that people rejected him, be the reason that somebody didn't come to Christ. You know, I'll read through those one more time. And if you're doing any of those, please take it to God and let him help you with it. Because I don't think you can have the Holy Spirit living inside you and do those things. And I told you before, I don't want to hear, depart from me, I never knew you, from him when I do stand before him. And I don't want you to hear that either. You know, it's dangerous if we're living like that. It's dangerous if you have those things in your heart. So I'll go over those one more time. And, you know, be honest with yourself for your own sake and for the gospel's sake. You know, I have to ask myself these things all the time because it's our sin nature to do these things. But we have to be not being controlled by our sin nature. We need to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. Number one was, don't bring shame on anybody for anything that they've done. Number two, don't slander anybody by telling others what they've done. Number three, don't place yourself above anybody by being self-righteous like you've never sinned. Number four is, don't expect them to earn forgiveness, to earn grace. Now, I will say this. Forgiveness and trust are two different things. You know, if somebody has done you wrong in the past, you shouldn't make them earn forgiveness. But trust is earned. You know, God's not saying forgive them, then trust them completely from that moment on. No, trust is something that is earned over time by, you know, being constant, and they can actually see the change in you that God is making. But don't expect them to earn forgiveness or grace. And number five, don't expect them to pay for what they've done. None of us can pay for what we've done. If we could pay for our own sin, we wouldn't need Jesus, and the cross would have no power at all. We would be our own gods. We would clean ourselves up. But the Bible is very clear about that, that we can't do that. So that's all I'm going to say about that. Now, I told you it was simple and to the point. But if that hit a nerve on you or shined a light on something, like I said, please take that to God, and He won't condemn you for bringing it to Him. We've already read that. God's not here to condemn us. But He will help you get rid of it and replace those feelings with the fruit of the Spirit if you'll submit to Him. And we can read those. You know, we share these all the time in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. You know, we shouldn't have judgment and all those condemnation and stuff coming out of us. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. And against such things there is no law. That's what we need to be sharing the gospel with. You know, God will help you get rid of that judgment and the self-righteousness and the condemnation and replace it with the fruit of the Spirit. All you got to do is bring it to Him and say, God, I know I've got these things in me. I want to get rid of them so that I can serve You better and witness better. And He will. He will help you. I used to be full of that stuff. I would take God's word before I was truly surrendered to Christ, and I would use Scripture to try and condemn people. You know, well, you're doing this, you're doing this, you're doing that. Well, the whole time I was condemning them, I was doing the same thing to myself because I was doing those things too. You know, I told you this had been on my mind all week, and I shared with you last week that I've been trying to get out of my comfort zone and witness more. And I shared with you last week that I did some of that, you know, when I was going to Sam's and Food City getting stuff for our trunk or treat event. You know, I tried to make it a point to witness to somebody or talk to them about Jesus, and I did that. You know, but I didn't go up to people and just start preaching at them. You know, I didn't go up to them and say, do you know you're a sinner and you're on your way to hell? You know, that's not what I did. And I think a lot of us think that's what witnessing is, and it's not. I think that's why we have a hard time thinking about witnessing. And I think a lot of us think about witnessing that way is because we've been witnessed to that way. I know I had. I remember when I was younger, I would have people come up to me, you know, you're going to go to hell for the way you're living. There was no love. There was no fruit of the Spirit. All I ever heard when people were trying to witness was condemnation and judgment. And that made me go 100% the other direction. I didn't want nothing to do with God. I didn't want nothing to do with church, because I thought that's all there was for me there was condemnation and judgment. Nobody ever told me Jesus loves you. You know, Jesus will help you. Jesus is there for you. It wasn't until, you know, just a few years ago, I found out what the truth about God was, and that He is a forgiving God and a loving God. And I think if we're going to witness, that's what we need to be telling people about. You know, witnessing is just doing like Jesus did and giving them an invitation to come with me. You know, hey, we're going to be having a good time in Jesus if you want to come. You know, if you want to invite somebody to trunk or treat last week or something. And just inviting them to be part of a church function, you know, you don't have to tell them they're living in sin. If they're living in sin, they already know that. And they don't need it to be pointed out to them. All we need to do is invite them into an atmosphere full of the Holy Spirit and get them to the light, then the Holy Spirit will speak to them. He's the one that will draw them, and He's the one that will do the work in their heart, not us. You know, all we need to do, we're just vessels to get them into His presence. It's not our job to change people. It's our job to lead people to Christ, just to get them in the vicinity of Christ, and the Holy Spirit will do the work on them. And You know, I told you last week again that I'm not going to preach anything that I'm not doing myself. So Monday morning, I drove up to West Virginia. I promised my granddaughter I'd come up Monday night and go trick-or-treating with her. And before I left, I asked God to help me on the way up there to be a witness every time I stopped. I made it a point every time I stopped on the way up there and on the way back to witness to somebody while I was stopped. And that was really awkward for me. You know, like I said a while ago, I get really embarrassed real easy. So if you get embarrassed easy, or if you're real shy like I am, it can be hard to witness. But I asked God to help me do that on the way up there and back, and he did. You know, the first time that I did it, it was really awkward. But the more I did it, the second time it was easier. You know, the third and the fourth time, it just got easier every time. And like I said, I wasn't preaching at people. I was just trying to find a way to get a conversation going. At that one rest stop I stopped at, you know, I saw the guy sitting in the office that worked there, and normally there's nobody at a rest stop working, but that day there was. And I just walked over to the office and, you know, we started talking to the guy. I asked him, you know, about how many people do you see come through here a day? Just small talk, stuff like that. And I asked him, you know, how many people do you hear talking about Jesus? And he just looked at me and he goes, not very many at all. He said, that's funny, you know, you said that. He said, I've been thinking about the rapture a lot lately. And when Jesus is coming back, and, you know, then he started talking about how he didn't think it was going to be that long. And then some other people that were there, you know, they overheard our conversation. So they walked up and they started talking too. And then for some reason, every time you start talking about Jesus, people start talking about football. And that one guy said, yeah, well, I think Jesus ought to be almost as important as football in our lives. And, you know, I told him, well, I think Jesus ought to be a little more important than football. But we wound up having a really good conversation. And it was like that, you know, just pretty much everywhere, every conversation that I struck up. People are glad to talk about God, but if you approach them in the right way. You know, I talked to one couple. I asked them where they were going. They said they were going to New Orleans to a wedding down there. And, you know, that gives you the opportunity to say, is it a church wedding? You know, blah, blah, blah. But there's ways to get into conversations with people without just coming up and calling them a sinner and telling them that they need Christ. You know, just get in a conversation with them. I told somebody last week, if you want to witness for God, all you got to do is find the courage to walk up to somebody and open your mouth, and God will feel it. He will he'll tell you what to say. And like I said, the more you do it, the less scary it is. I mean, for me, it's really awkward because I'm not a real social person. You know, I have a hard time striking up a conversation with people that I don't know. But the more I did it, the easier it got. And I know the more you do it, the easier it'll be for you too. But you don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. You don't have to have half the Bible memorized. All you need to know is what Christ has done for you in your life. And share that with somebody and let them know that God will do the same thing in your life. Just get a conversation open, and then, like I said, God will lead the conversation. So let's work on that this week. Let's share our gospel. Paul calls it, in one of his letters, he said, my gospel. And that's for each of us. I have my gospel. You know, Travis has his gospel. Mom has hers. Dale has his. For each of us, it's different. Christ has done different things for all of us, but he's also done the same thing for all of us. So just share with somebody what God is doing in your life. You know, 2 weeks from tonight, I'm excited about, I forget what they said they were going to call that thing. Not a revival, but something, but those ladies are coming from West Tennessee to share what Christ has done in their life, and I'm looking forward to hearing that. And if you can, invite people to be there with us, and let them hear the testimonies of what Jesus has done in those lives. But remember, if you're going to be sharing the gospel, there's no condemnation in it. And there's no judgment. You know, like we just read in Romans 3:23, we're all sinners and come short of the glory of God. But like we're fixing to read, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord can be saved and will be saved. So if you've never been saved, I always try to give you an opportunity to do that. And I want to do that right now. It's really simple. I try to share this every week. In Romans chapter 10, in verses 9 and 10, it says, if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. In verse 10, it says, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you've never given your life to Christ and you want to do that, all you got to do is believe in your heart that he died for your sins. And on the third day, he rose again. And believe that in your heart and share it with somebody else. If you're making that decision tonight, just tell somebody, I'm giving my life to Christ. I'm going to make him Lord of my life. And the Bible says, confession is made unto salvation. So if you've done that, you are saved. And I always want to tell you that nobody's gone too far. In Romans 10, verse 13, it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So don't worry about your background. Nobody's too bad. No matter what you've heard all your life, you're not unworthy to be saved. We're all unworthy. That's why we need saving. And that's why I read to you a while ago in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, that while we were sinners is when Christ died for us. He knew we were all sinners. That's why he died for us. And that's how God showed his love towards all of us, that he knew we couldn't get it right. So don't listen to people if they're telling you you've got to get it all together before you can come to church. Just come to church and let the Holy Spirit get a hold of you. Surrender your life to Christ, and he'll give you the next step. He'll help you get your life straightened out. He sure did mine. But that's what God put on my heart this week, and I hope that really helps somebody. It really spoke to my heart, and it helped me, is helping me to be a better witness, you know, because I always struggle with, what do I say? You know, where do I start? How do I do this? Because I had never witnessed for Christ before. You know, I heard a lot of the older church-going people when I was growing up, they're talking about they would go out and witness. You know, they'd go knock on doors and stuff, but I had no idea how to witness for Christ. But he's showing me more and more, step by step. All you got to do is to share with somebody what Christ is doing in your life. And that will lead them to him if you're living for him. But that's all I've got for tonight. I know it's a pretty short message, but that's all God gave me to share with you tonight. And I thank you all for coming out, and thank you for tuning in online. Let's get out there and try to be a witness for Christ this week. Let me close us in prayer, and we will be dismissed. Father, thank you so much for helping me to preach that tonight. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us all to realize how simple witnessing for you is. I pray that you'll help us not to make a production out of it, Lord, and try to pretend to be something that we're not. Help us to just be ourselves and to share with people what you're doing in our lives and what you've already done for us. And invite them to share that with us, God. And I pray that that'll bring many into a relationship with you so that they can know the love that you have for them just like you've given to us. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen.